This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Yeah, that's what we do. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Man, here we are, classes in session Wednesday. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, producer Jess, love seeing you guys. Johnny, what's happening, my friend?
Hey, man, it's midweek. Love it. Love being here, Tim. Lots of exciting stuff happened. I mean, every day there seems to be a new executive order and some, you know, mess to sift through. We won't dive into that because, remember, we like to keep it positive. We're dancing through the week, and I'm still dancing, my man. But I'm extra excited because I got some stuff from the mailbag.
So
today's stuff class is going to be in session, but it's a special class and it's right up your alley. So I'm excited about today's class.
Yeah. Jess, how you doing?
You know, I'm working on dancing my way through this, but boy, it has just been such a fire hose and just trying to sift my way through. I so look forward to this time together because it is a break. It's a chance to take a step back and look at the bigger picture and look at what, especially to me, is so important. Education, true education, not schooling, but education, learning, and really developing that curiosity and these long-term skills. How are you doing, Tim, eh?
You know, I am doing actually pretty well. I was just thinking about the dancing and dancing during these executive orders. I think the best way would be to imagine me not being able to break dance, but trying to break dance.
I've seen a video of you doing something like break dancing. You're breaking something.
It's really, I think that, you know, true break dancing is the only type of dancing you would be seeing me doing. However, though, you know what? I love the fact, yeah, the mailbag. In fact, though, before we even get to this mailbag, I'm going to remind everybody, if you have a question like the one we're about to go over, 608-557-8577, 608-557-8577. That is the number for the mailbag. Give us a call. Ask us a question. Let us know what you think about the show because, hey, guess what? I'm going to jump right into it, though. Just, you know, do a little, I'll actually put it in there. Hi. Well, hello to you, too, letter writer. Thank you for pushing back on awful education policy. Is it possible to opt out of the Ohio State test for fourth grade? That's question one. Number two, do you have any advice for parents trying to push back on the science of reading mandates? In our school district, the administration and school board seem to have drank the Kool-Aid. They have fully bought into the science of reading movement and feel very self-righteous about it. I participated in a parent feedback session that was more of a marketing presentation. Meanwhile, my fourth grader is completely miserable in a classroom piloting, well, we won't even say which one it is, with Fidelity, though, love that word. He is a creative, out-of-the-box thinker who has previously loved schools, thrives in a flexible workshop model. Anyway, I'm feeling very unheard as a parent. Would appreciate any feedback or advice. Thanks. From Shannon in Ohio. Wow. Let's take question one first because science of reading, we'll get into that, but opting out. The question of opt out, can you opt out? I think the best way to talk about opting out is have an opt outer who I happen to have with us today. One true opt outer, my daughter Lacey, who has been opting out her whole life and not opting out of, you know, schooling because she's a senior in college. But Lace, you were an opt-out student. Tell us about your opt-out experience.
So I don't think that's in front of my face. So I don't think I've ever taken a standardized test before, have I?
No, you haven't.
No, I don't think so. And you know what? It definitely doesn't affect how you learn as a person. It doesn't prove anything because I'm in college now and I've been on the dean's list the entire time I've been in college. So don't let a standardized test define your intelligence in any way.
Do you remember what we did to opt you out?
we just sent them a letter, right?
Yeah. Just sent up.
Yeah, you don't ask them, you tell them that you're doing it. So that's what we did. And it was really fun. I loved opt-out day because we went on educational field trips instead. We went to the zoo. We did crafts. And I probably learned more than I ever would have taking a standardized test.
Yeah. Well, the best thing, too, about when you got a little bit older, because we started opting you out in third grade. And by the time we got to middle school, though, you were so passionate about it. Tell them what you did on your own.
I can't really remember what brought me to do this. I mean, just obvious anger over the fact that it's even a thing. But I actually just decided one day I wanted to speak to the school board. And so I wrote up a whole paper. And I think one of my teachers helped me get in touch with the school board and figure out how to get me a spot to speak, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, I got up. It was one of the most nerve-wracking things I ever did because it was pretty much a board just of middle-aged white men. So it was kind of scary. But I got up there and I spoke for maybe 5 minutes. And yeah, it was
all
really
advocating
cool.
Opt-out.
Yeah, yep. And everyone behind me that was there at the school board meeting, I got a pretty big applause, which was awesome. It was awesome to like talk about it and stuff, but I didn't really get much feedback from them after I did it. So I don't know if that's because they didn't care, or hopefully it's because they were too stunned to speak that a sixth grader was speaking up to them. So, yeah.
But I mean, that's what's really cool about it is that you did this. And so the person asking the question here, you know, how do you, what do you? Well, first, the answer to that is you, as my daughter said, you don't ask.
You just
tell them, because this goes, you know, and this has gotten fuzzy and hazy over the last 3 or 4 years, what it means. But you have the parental right in standardized testing, and the results of standardized tests aren't for progression, moving your kids forward.
No.
And so you don't have to have them. You don't have to take them. So you can just walk right in and say, I don't give the school permission to test my child. What we did when we did this, so as you heard Lacey say, we then planned a whole day or 2 or 3 days of the testing of alternative education that we provided to the school, saying, here's what Lacey and her brother Luke were going to do during opt-out days. And like I said, you guys got to the point where you decided to talk about it. But here she is, a senior in college. And the proof is, guess what? If you don't take standardized tests, look what happens.
I honestly feel like I'm better off not having taken it. Because also I don't want it to be looked over. The fact that, yes, it's bad on the education system, but we also need to make sure we pay attention to the fact of how bad it is on students' mental health. And that was a big portion of what I spoke about to the school board meeting, was how horribly it can affect like young students' mental health, because they're not out there telling you. I know so many of my friends that did take it. They thought it affected their overall grade. It doesn't go into overall like letter grades for your classes at all. And we know that because it didn't go into mine and I didn't take it. But I literally had friends that were so nervous to take it because they thought they had to do perfect that they were peeing their pants while they were taking it. So it's really important to also bring awareness to how it can affect mental health on students.
So there you go, Johnny and Jess. You hear it from the opt-outer herself.
I love it. I love it. And not just anecdotal. I bet there are a lot of other folks, Lacey, who opted out or didn't take that test who agree with you. Love hearing.
Oh
these.
Yeah, I had a whole group of friends, and when I was in elementary school, who opted out with me. And you remember?
Yeah,
it wasn't many of us, but it was enough that it was a group that people noticed.
So, real quick, Tim, let me ask you and Lacey a question. What state were you in? Because we've bounced around quite a bit, us blue collar scholars. What state were you in when you opted out of taking the standardized tests?
When I was in elementary school, that was in Pennsylvania. And then when I opted out in middle school, that was in Wisconsin.
Awesome. So a little bit for our listeners, education is a state right, and states vary just on the law side of it. And I love how Lacey told us, you don't ask, you just tell them this is what you're doing. So remember, like that's kind of the route to opting out. But just so you know, in states like our mailbag question was specifically for Ohio, and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin do have law and policy for opting out. And again, like anywhere you are, you can probably just say, this is not in the best interest of my education. In Ohio, there is no law that permits opting out. So there's no formal form or policy or letter or anything. You kind of have to take the route that, you know, Tim and Lacey share. And you just tell. And they said, anything that we've looked up and that over the years I've talked to other opt-outers about is there may be a consequence. Well, in Lacey's case, she told you there was no consequence. In fact, there was probably enrichment.
That's not to say there wasn't no consequence. I mean, I didn't get any negative consequences like towards my academics, but there was a lot of students and parents who disagreed with it, who I think would tell their kids to disagree with it. And there was a few kids that kind of bullied me in elementary school about it, but I didn't care because I was like, whatever, you're taking a test and I'm at the zoo. So
yeah, mic drop there, right?
But so not to say there wasn't any sort of a
well, the other, but within that, think about it, the consequence was you had a day of learning.
Yeah. So it's like the pros definitely outweighed the cons, but there still can be cons, but not cons in the sense that like you shouldn't opt out, obviously. Like it's enough to where it won't matter and just opt your kid out because you have the right to do it.
It there sounds like civil disobedience. It sounds like good trouble. Right.
It just is good trouble.
Just wanted to clarify for our listener, though, that like there is no formal form. It's the good trouble kind of opt out in Ohio. There is no legal procedure or policy in place to say parents can opt their kids out or kids can even opt themselves out of tests, the standardized tests. So, you know, but you always have your right to civil disobedience.
Yeah,
the
you
good
do.
Trouble. And you heard Lacey said there's some consequences at the end of the day. Like the kind of learning you were engaged in.
Yeah. And if this person that wrote in, if they do get pushback for doing it, like just know you have a whole team of people who have also gone through it who can support you.
Yeah. There you go. Lacey, thanks for hanging out with us. And, you know, thanks for busting pencils.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
So there we go. That was awesome. We're good.
All right.
Thanks, Lace.
Bye.
So there you go. Guess what? No consequences from the standpoint. And I know what parents are thinking about too, is like, will they hold my child back? Will it hurt them academically? And the answer is no. And going back to, again, Johnny, the real technical part, these prescribed standardized tests, whether they be by the state, by the federal, by local, these are tests that are largely to collect data. And most of that data is typically used to report on the school. And as we really saw this back in 2011, when we started opting out, this data is actually used to harm the school because this data is only collected to tell negative stories about kids failing or teachers failing. So, you know, keep that in mind. So Shannon, opt out. You know what? Hey, and if you want, you know, right here, I can put you in touch with some opt out people in Ohio, because I know there's an opt out Ohio group that we gladly put you into. Science of reading, though, man, you guys, right? Thinking about that, we had Dr. Nancy Carlson Page on last week talking about the science of reading, had a whole hour with Paul Thomas, really breaking that down. The question of, so what does a parent do who goes, well, I don't like this science of reading thing? And I can tell you this, being in Ohio and having been part of the higher education system in Ohio, I know where Shannon is coming from the standpoint of, you know, quote, drinking the Kool-Aid. Because, Johnny, we've talked about this. It is mandated in Ohio that every child, every teacher, and every teacher education program at every college, whether it be private or public, must be using the science of reading and an approved curriculum that can only be taught. I'm thinking on this one too, how is it that a parent gets together and says, man, this is bunk, and this is really starting to make my kid be disinterested in school? I would wonder, and this is me just thinking out loud, are there any other parents that are feeling that way? How can you get to know them? Can you put that out? Do you have a place where maybe you can get together with some parents to ask the question? Because then if you find some like people, and this is what we did with Opt Out, we found some people who agreed, and we kind of created our own little group. And then we got to educating ourselves about opting out. And here on the Science of Reading, I think once you educate yourselves, and I have to say, you know what? We got a lot of Science of Reading shows. If you want to get a great education, come to Busted Pencils, because what you're going to need to do is really have the scholarship and the research to explain very clearly that, first of all, there is no science of reading. And the whole idea of only one single way to learn to read, man, that's real problematic. So, Johnny, I don't know, add to a little bit there what I was throwing out.
Well, I can layer on a little bit, Tim. You know, we were talking about this week in school, and I love examples. And one that the students and I came up with, science of reading, you know, it's a very manipulative branding, because science of, man, it sounds like, hey, man, there's a lot of research that's done to make this science, scientific method, scientific consensus on this being, you know, the way we learn to read. And that's simply not true, right? So right. It's a branding. It would be similar to, if like we were to say, you know, pick your favorite brand, I won't name them, of like athletic shoes. One certainly comes to mind. You know, you can just do it, but come up with that brand and then say, it's that brand of basketball, right? And like, you could play basketball in any kind of quality athletic shoe or any kind of equipment. It's not owned by that particular thing. But, you know, there are some ways that brands might mislead. And so, you know, this is a branding. It's really manipulative to name something science of reading, or science of, like, if I was to say I'm a math teacher and, you know, the way I teach math is science of mathematics, and I'm going to kind of brand it and maybe have some researchers doing some research, but certainly not scientific consensus on this being like science solution to learning to do mathematics. That's the same thing here with reading, right? We've had the reading wars for years, right? Whether, you know, it's phonics based, or, you know, we've had all these different ways we've chopped it up on here with Dr. Nancy Carlson Page and Dr. Paul Thomas, and Tim Slecker here. You know, Dr. Tim, you've talked a lot about it, but in essence, I'm always weary of misleading brand names. And this is one of those times where I'm like, okay, now, remember, scientific consensus is a real thing, and it's misleading because we hear this is the best way and that science has enforced that, but scientific community hasn't really enforced that. This is, in fact, a brand that's being imposed on states and districts.
You made a great actual illustration comparison there. I love that basketball kind of analogy and putting that in. And so think about the game of basketball, and then the parallel is reading and learning to read, right? And you said the other thing is, you know, so shoes. Now, how many different brands of shoes are there out there for athletes to use? And guess what the athletes do? They choose the shoe that works for them, that helps them be the better basketball player. And so what we've been talking about with, quote, the science of reading is, there isn't a single science of reading. And when you're coming to the game of reading, you want to be able to bring any tool or any shoe, as you would want to bring to the game of basketball, any type of athletic, you know, knee wraps and things like that. You want to use those things that work. that make you actually be able to enjoy that game. And now we're talking about basketball, but enjoy reading. And I hear that coming out of Shannon is saying, hey, guess what? The joy of reading is being sucked away from her child there. So Johnny, I love the way you kind of threw that basketball and then shoes, because it just made me start thinking. It's like, could you imagine if the whole entire NBA said, hey, we found the right shoe. It's the actual science of basketball shoes, and everybody has to wear them. Can you imagine that?
And fans and athletes out there know this, because the other layer to this metaphor, Tim, is that sometimes we choose the shoe that pays us the most.
Right.
And so just like this science of reading, there is money attached to implementing it in funds for your state and your district should you choose to implement this. So there is also an economic layer to this that is highly political, and we can get into that in a whole nother show. But this has been a great class and session. And now it's time for your moment of zen. The future is an infinite succession of presents. And to live now as we think human beings should live, in defiance of all that is bad around us, is itself a marvelous victory.
Hey, everybody, thanks for busting pencils with us. Love that you got to spend classes in session with us on Friday. Don't forget face-offs and free throws. And Saturday, one whole hour of busted pencils across all of the civic media stations and the apps that are out there. You know, the thing is, too, if you're downloading this show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, make sure you leave us a review and a comment. And you know what? Keep busting pencils.